And turn with me to Psalm 107. We're going to read the first 9 verses and the last verse of Psalm 107. You'll notice that Psalm 107 begins the 5th and final of the books of the Psalter. Book 4 concludes with Psalm 106, and near the end of 106 there is an appeal. Save us, O Lord, gather us from among the nations that we may give thanks to your holy name and glory in your praise. And so ends Book 4 of the Psalter, an appeal to God for deliverance and mercy. Book 5 begins with verse 1 of Psalm 107. Listen, here's God's word. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from trouble and gathered in from the lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. Some wandered in desert wastes, finding no way to a city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted within them. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He led them by a straight way till they reached a city to dwell in. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of man. For he satisfies the longing soul, and the hungry soul he fills with good things. Verse 43, whoever is wise, let him attend to these things. Let them consider the steadfast love of the Lord. And that is God's word. These people have gathered for a Thanksgiving service. They've come from all over the place. And just listen to them. They are inviting you to join in. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, they say in verse 1. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his love endures forever. And this Thanksgiving morning, we recognize kindred spirits, don't we? Here they are. They've come from all over the place. A diversity of life experience, all kinds of circumstances and situations. In fact, they come from all corners of the globe, and they are united in saying, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. That's one of the things that God does. God gathers people in. People who found themselves previously in darkness and difficulty and dire circumstances of every kind, and God brings them in regardless of background, regardless of status. God brings them in and puts a song of praise and testimony in their mouths. They're gathered in from the east, the west, from the north, and from the south. This is absolutely wonderful. This is true, glorious, God-honoring diversity. And we hear them in Psalm 103 speak of their experiences. And what a blessing it is to hear God's people speak of their experiences of the Lord's goodness and the Lord's steadfast love. And yes, it should be Thanksgiving every day. We were reminded of that earlier, weren't we? We take the opportunity today to talk about the good things that God has done for us. And maybe we give some thought to what are the things I'm thankful for over the past year. Let every day be Thanksgiving, because God's people look around them day by day and find their days packed with evidences of God's goodness and faithfulness. And we looked at some verses from the psalm. We didn't have time to read the whole psalm to hear each of these individuals speak of their experience of God's goodness. But we did hear from one group in the passage that we read in verses 4 and the verses following. And did you notice their testimony? They had a grueling experience. They were lost. They were wandering in a wilderness. And it was just hard. It was wearisome. It was tedious. They were they could not find their direction. They were going round and round in circles. They were hungry. They were thirsty. They were hopeless. And they were lost. And those were just the outward problems, because their difficult outward circumstances caused their souls to faint within them. Isn't it such a mystery that we are bodies and souls, our bodies hunger and thirst, and our souls become frightened and fearful and apprehensive, and we experience trial, and our souls become agitated within us. These ones, as we listen to their testimony, they're telling us about how they were in those difficult desert places, and their souls fainted within them. Their outward circumstances led to hopelessness and depression and despair. It was awful. But you know what? They cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. And that's their testimony. That's amazing. God heard them out in the wilderness place. God's ear was inclined toward them. God heard their voices crying out in distress from parched lips. And God responded, and God delivered them. He provided. Oh, we think of the people, we think of the Israelites in Egypt. We were singing about them just now, weren't we? And I know, boys and girls, some of you have been learning about them in Sunday school. They were in the wilderness, and God guided them. God fed them. He gave them manna. He gave them water. And as he did that, of course, he was pointing forward to prepare them for the Lord Jesus, who is the true bread come down from heaven, the light who gives light in the darkness, so that those who follow him do not walk in darkness but have the light of life. Those who believe in him drink from streams of living water, and their testimony reminds us that God hears and that God blesses. And the psalm actually has some other groups speaking. We didn't have time really to call on them this morning to hear what they had to say. But here's another group that we meet in verses 10 through 15. And they were in trouble of their own making. And you read the psalm later on, but they were rebellious and irreligious, and they acted badly, and they ended up incarcerated. They were in a place of futility, a place of darkness, a place where they felt themselves to be under sentence of death. They were in a dark, dark place where it just seemed that life really could not go on. Just the deep sense of despair and despondency, and maybe a sense of realization, I brought this on myself as someone who's been rebellious against God and led a godless life. And guess what? Guess what? Verse 13. They cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. Here they are, these ones who have been rebellious and defiant against God, and in their distress, when they realized where their rebelliousness had brought them, they cried out, and God delivered them from their distress. Amazing. God heard them in their darkness. He heard them in that dark place, and a light shone on them. The Lord Jesus, the light that gives light to all, the light who has come into the world, and the darkness has not overcome it. The God who said, the Creator God who said, "Light, let light shine in the darkness," that God shines in hearts to give the light of the knowledge of God in the face of the Lord Jesus. And Jesus brightens the lives of his people and causes us to say, Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His mercy endures forever. He met me in my distress. We sing, "Long my imprisoned spirit lay fast, bound in sin and nature's night. Thine eye diffused a quickening ray. I woke, the dungeon flamed with light. My chains fell off, my heart was free. I rose, went forth, and followed thee. I gathered with God's people, and now I'm telling you about what God did for me. God's goodness is everlasting. Oh, there's another contempt. We didn't really get to call on everyone. Verse 17, they speak up in verse 17 in the verses that follow, and they also have made some bad choices. Bad choices with nasty consequences. We're told in verse 17 that they were fools. They were fools because of their sinful ways and because of their iniquities. They suffered affliction. They brought trouble on their own heads because they were foolish. They were foolish, and they just were such a bad. They couldn't stomach food. That's a bad way to be on a Thanksgiving day, isn't it? Great that we're not in that pit of depression where we can't. they couldn't stomach food. They drew near to the gates of death, and these lives are lives that were racked with shame and folly and failure, and that one foot in the grave, as it were. And it was their own doing. But guess what? Verse 19, they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and the Lord heard, and the Lord delivered them from their distress. This is great. These ones who were shamed, these ones who, God receives them. God has them. God prepares a place for them in paradise. Isn't that? We might think of Jesus addressing that rebel on the cross who had been a blasphemer, and now in his last with his last breath recognizes Jesus and appeals to Jesus, and Jesus assures him, "Today you'll be with me in paradise, not as some kind of second-rate person, but as a beloved son of God." And yet we've got time for one more, haven't we? And in verse 23 and following, we hear from another group. They went down to the sea in ships. They've been through a lot. They have stories to tell. These are travelers, and they've been out there, and they've encountered the forces of nature. They thought they could harness the wind and the sea to for their own profit, for the sake of merchandise, and they found themselves at the mercy of the forces of nature that they thought they could control, and they discovered, no, they could not control. They were not as in control of things as they thought. And when I hear their testimony, I think, yeah, I need to hear that. Because I'm not in control of things the way I would like to be or the way I imagine that I am. They thought they had it figured out. They knew how to sail a ship. They knew how to chart a course. They knew how to trade. And they found themselves in a terrifying situation where they are on a roller coaster, where their lives are soaring up and plunging down, and they're crying out in distress. And they're realizing that the forces of nature that have them utterly at their power are not blind forces of nature. It's nature that's under the control of God. It's God who commands the wind, God who commands the waves. God's in control of the forces of nature that sometimes we imagine are blind and random, that sometimes we think of as representing luck or fate, under God's control. And they're at their wits' end. Their skills of navigation, their skills of seamanship, their skills in the marketplace, their skills are utterly unavailing. They don't know what to do. Oh, they do know what to do. They cry out to the Lord in their trouble, and He delivered them from their distress. That's great. That's great. They cried out. They were like those sailors with Jonah, isn't that right? Who cried out, and the Lord calmed the wind. Or they like the disciples. They were sailors of a kind as well, and they knew how to chart a course and operate a ship. And there they were, terrified and at their wits' end. And they appealed to Jesus. Do you not care? Here we are, at the mercy of these forces that are beyond our... Do you not care? And Jesus speaks to the wind and the waves and says, "Peace, peace, be still." And the disciples know that Jesus cares, and we know that Jesus cares as well. What do you do when you hear those kinds of testimonies? Well, the psalmist says, whoever is wise, let him attend closely to these things. That's the little sermon at the end of the time of testimony in Psalm 107. Whoever's wise, let him attend to these things. Examine them closely. Think about the things that the psalmist described. Think about the things that your brothers and sisters have spoken of. The things that your children have spoken of here this morning. Isn't that wonderful? Think about these things, the things that reflect that there is one God and that He is a God who cares. Let them consider, let them discern and perceive, let them recognize. So often things just happen to us. And the psalmist says, the wise person perceives in those things the steadfast love of the Lord. The foolish person doesn't get it, but the wise person does. He learns. What do the wise learn? Well, that God satisfies the longing soul, and the hungry soul He fills with good things. Jesus says, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to Me will not hunger. Whoever believes in Me shall not thirst. And He gives us the foretaste of heaven, so that as John pictures those glorified saints in heaven in Revelation 7, he says, they will hunger no more, neither thirst anymore, because the Lord satisfies the longing soul and fills the hungry soul with good things. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your word, a sweet word to our souls, and we pray that we would be wise and that we would learn from these things. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing together hymn number 715 in the Trinity Hymnal. Come, ye thankful people, come. Sing the song, raise the song of Harvest Home. 715 in the hymnal, will you rise to sing?